You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
And now, folks, get ready to rock the Bronx with a band of diehard Bronx-born Yankee fans that call themselves Deficit.
Where we at, boys?
The Bronx!
The booty down!
Bronx!
Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built, home of the Bronx Bombers, winners of 22 World Series, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Tony Lazzari, Mark Koenig, where it all began, the 27 Murderers Row, and Joe DiMaggio, right here in the Bronx.
Nobody rocks!
Nobody!
Like they rock in the Bronx!
It's an attitude, boy!
161
in River. Bill, Dickie, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Elston Howard, Whitey Ford, Phil Rizzuto, Billy Mann, the Professor, Casey Stengel, the Lords of Baseball, four decades of dominance, 33 AL pennants, Roger Maris, 61 homies, the Eminem boys, forget about it. Nobody rocks.
Everybody, welcome to Axe to Grind. A hardcore podcast that matters more than international politics.
Yeah, no World War III here.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
This is recorded in advance, so it's possible World War III. It's possible that these files exist only in a machine somewhere. That
right,
is
that is melting. With
To our new supreme overlord robot leaders,
yes.
Thank you. We hope you enjoy the sound of our human voices as we discuss mundane musical minutia.
You ever see fucking The Day After Tomorrow?
You've talked about this one.
No, it's not The Day After Tomorrow.
You've talked about this one, the nuke one.
Terminator. The nuke one.
Yes. No. We're going to go with Terminator because you've already talked about this. We're going to just say Terminator 2.
Well, now it's a real thing.
Yeah, and now it's
a possibility.
We're all in danger.
So fucked up. It was on regular TV.
We're all Sarah Connor now.
Yes.
We're just shadows on the wall.
Have you watched the thing about the odd time signature on the Terminator song?
No.
So if you listen to it all the way through, it's actually an incredibly strange time signature.
Oh, I love it so much.
That's meant. There was some reason that it fell out.
Overlord.
It like fell out, and they were like, "Sounds cool."
Yeah.
Like, leave it.
This sounds like a Candiria song. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I love that song.
All right. Let's hit some sponsors real quick
before
and
we
then
dive
get into some shit. Weirdly, I'm excited for this episode. I don't know why. Because this is, we're going to be talking about a thing.
That's cool that you're only excited for this episode.
No, I just, I don't, this is weirdly,
I'm excited for all the episodes, Bob.
Me too.
Yeah. Like,
you worked really hard to put this stuff together.
Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I like, but here's
Patrick,
my thing.
Patrick was jerking off to his own asshole when you were.
I know.
Here's my thing.
Grinding.
I think, well, we're going to get into it. But it's an interesting topic. And I think because I don't identify with it so strongly, I could talk about it informed but distant, and I'm that excites me when I don't feel like I gotta worry about like oh fuck, I'm gonna see this dude in fucking,
I mean, you might,
the Canada Joe Harry, you know what I mean? So all right,
sponsors,
let's do it.
Let's start with Closed Casket Activities, purveyor of the finest of heavy hardcore and the like. I'm gonna do one that we've shown love to but maybe deserves more love from us. King 9 Death Rattle.
Oh, it does deserve...
Yes.
It's a very good record.
Yo.
It's a really good record.
Hold on.
It's not a comedy album, but...
Those dudes will punch you in the nose.
I don't know why this strikes me as so funny. I thought about this record for the duration of my shower at the Y the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a funny place...
This
to
is
be,
a great YMCA
to
record,
be thinking about... Yeah. Like, my thought was actually like, you know what? That last King 9 record didn't get enough respect. This is what I was thinking in the fucking shower. And when I got out, I was like, God damn, there's people that are like doing their budget or working out.
And you're thinking about King 9.
I'm like, why is that King 9 record underappreciated?
Right, like thinking about like their husband or wife like dying in their arms.
This is
like, you know what? Like, I know like the intro in Art of War did really well, but like I feel like it was kind of overlooked.
Yeah, you know, Scared to Death is a great LP, but like so is Death Rattle.
That's
perhaps
was,
even better.
That's what I was thinking in the shower. I mean, just
it's like widowers trying to figure out how to cook.
Had you just
themselves.
Finished a heavy pump?
Yeah, of course.
Then you were thinking of King 9.
That might be
why. I think it's not just a good lifting record. It could be a cardio record. So if you go into the Y today, make sure you bring the King 9 Death Rattle LP. You go to Closed Casket
Activities.
Bring
the actual LP.
Yeah, bring
the
vinyl
to
the only
work.
One vinyl.
Yeah.
And what you're going to do is prop it up against the machine, a nearby wall, a mirror. So while you're working that body, you're thinking about King Nine. You don't necessarily need to listen to it. If you are, I just encourage you to have it.
Might just be in your DNA, if you're working out.
What I hope is you're just listening onto like AirPods or something like a normal civilized human would do. But have the record, the actual vinyl somewhere so you can look at it.
And maybe you can bring one of those like carrying vinyl like record players. Mm-hmm. Just like set it up. I mean, in like Williamsburg and like stuff like that, it probably would not be frowned upon. No. Set it up.
And just play.
And just fucking jam out on the record.
It. Yeah. Buy the CD version.
Great artwork. Fantastic. Love the artwork. Love it.
I'm going to get heavy for a second. I was listening to a guy talk about, two men talk about whether or not.
King Nine Death Rattle.
Whether or not they approach somebody on a train who's listening to music through speakers. Mm-hmm. Because that's an obnoxious thing to do.
Yes.
And every sane person agrees that it's rude and disrespectful, and yet many, many people do it, right? And so.
Sometimes you gotta.
And they're talking about.
Never after.
Talking about.
That's how you get stabbed in the neck when you say something.
The one guy said, I approach people that do that. And the other guy said, no, I never do. And the guy said, you don't gotta go through life scared. And he said, let me explain. And I thought this was the best put thing. And it made me sympathetic to girlfriends that I've had fathers not liking me. And I'll explain why in a second. So.
King Nine Death Rattle.
So. The argument was, once you're one standard deviation past the norm of societal behavior, there's no telling how far past that deviation
that bell curve.
You are.
You could be way
King
out.
King
Nine, right.
Death Rattle.
So if you are doing
which I was feeling the death rattle right now with the story.
If you're doing something antisocial,
yes,
like listening to
King Nine,
speaker,
Death Rattle.
Through your speakers.
Or yeah, listening to like, yeah.
On the seven.
On the seven. Then who knows.
What else you'll do?
What else you'll do? And that made me sympathetic.
Unhinged, right?
Maybe you have a knife of pee on it, yeah, like in your pocket.
Precisely. And I've always thought, like, in my life, I've met people that think that I'm, that have presumptions about me because I had big neck tattoos since I was 18, you know? Mm-hmm. And I always thought, how fucking lame are you, old man? You know what I mean? Fuck you.
King Nine, Death Rattle.
But, old man, take a look at
but
my life.
But it made me realize. Oh, but it is one standard deviation from the norm.
Correct.
Which is not.
It could indicate several past that.
That's right. Right. Yes, that's correct. Right. And that.
I think you're several past that by getting neck tattoos.
No, I think you're
not in the 68% of the bell curve.
Let me ask you a question.
You're way out in the 4%.
I'll put this out to both of you. As far as antisocial behavior, neck tattoos versus listening to music on your fucking speakers, which guy would you prefer to be locked up with?
Yeah, music
the guy
on
with
speakers.
The speakers.
Oh, God. No,
music on the speakers, guys.
That guy's
maybe
a psychopath.
You forgot your headphones one day and you're like,
no excuse.
I have this fucking earworm and I got to get it out.
No excuse. That's a psychopath.
Quietly held up to your ear on one bar. Okay. I'll let you live.
I usually look at people like when someone does that, I'm not going to say anything because, again, I'm not trying to get stabbed.
Yeah.
But I will shoot them and look like they shit themselves.
The glance. King Nine, Death Rattle.
Death Rattle.
Pick it up.
CloseCasketActivities.com. Enter the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
You're going to want to?
Spell it out.
All right. Other sponsor.
Other sponsor is Run for Cover Records.
I can't wait for the story that goes along with this one.
This is the Fathers Who Didn't Like Me. That's a good EP name, by the way.
Fathers Who Didn't Like Me. I told you the story about my grandma riding the train with the gun. I was thinking about making that the record for the new self-defense
record. No, you didn't tell us the story, but okay.
No?
It must have been on one of the other five podcasts.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Did you tell it to your travel agent that set you up for Cambodia?
Is that on your new podcast, Porn Boys?
Cambodia. So my grandmother, nurse, my grandfather, detective.
You did tell them the
yes.
story. Yes.
So, but I was.
Not to me.
I told you.
I don't think I was here for this.
Whatever.
I probably wasn't paying attention.
King Nine Death Rattle.
King Nine Death Rattle.
So, what's the record you're promoing for
Run for Cover?
I'm actually going to promo three.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
Because
you want to do all three at once and want to save this up?
Yeah.
No. Because I forgot Run for Cover has. Their distro has slowly been expanding.
Growing.
In this way that I forget. And I think a lot of us forget. Because I don't know where people go for mail order these days. Rev is still obviously in the picture. Death Wish. Fucking big. Yeah.
Run for Cover.
And Cover is now right in the mix.
Absolutely.
I'm fucking checking this out. And there's so let's start with one of theirs. The Me Without You record, Pale Horses, I think got overlooked much in the same way that the King Nine, Death Rattle, you can say it. I like it.
King Nine, Death Rattle.
Got overlooked.
Get it at FYE, Sam Goody, and all Coconuts locations.
Me Without You, Pale Horse.
And so this record is. If you like Me Without You, you will like this. And if for any reason you didn't check it out, you're a fool.
Is this the most current thing?
This is the most current.
You fuck with Me Without You, right?
I think Me Without You is low-key great.
Yes.
Interesting.
Great.
I think they have one record that's outrageously good, and the
is
some
that
of the other
for
good
the foxes for yeah. hunting or whatever. Like, yeah. Sweater
catch
poorly knit.
Catch for us the foxes. Yeah.
And the sweater poorly knit.
I love so much of it, and this record
is that self defense, Jace.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you sure. wish self. Do you feel like that self defense could have been them?
No, because I've never been as capable a vocalist.
Can he sing?
No, but he's
got interesting range of different stuff that he can do.
So I don't imagine any of our listeners have heard this, but there's a recording that I had to change Self Defense's approach vocally at one point because I felt like I was too close to this man. Like,
wow.
And it just would have come out like a poor imitation because I can't do what he does. So like he...
Intentionally? You,
pale horse.
Pale horses.
Pale horses.
Several pale horses.
He's been...
Pale horses.
No, not intentionally. But wouldn't we both have... what the Germans call it? Where we just speak talk?
Schadenfreude.
No, different one. So we just speak talk.
Farfignugen.
So Zeitgeist.
So it's you guys are right. It's all of those. So, but it's hard to do something that doesn't sound like another man when you're in when you have the same range and you both talk.
Right, and he, yeah. When you start to emote too much, there can be a quiver in your voice that would be a bit of an equivocacy. So, be careful.
So
you're recommending that.
I'm recommending that. I suggest everybody get it. And then I'm going to go into the distro, and I want to talk for a second.
Run for cover, distro.
Distro.
Me without you, pale horses.
Now there's a lot of stuff.
K9, death rattle.
There's a lot of stuff that. In principle, our listeners are already familiar with, but I think might not be.
Correct.
So
you can't assume anything about our listeners.
Right. Braid, Frame, and Canvas is a record that we've talked about briefly.
Was it on our podcast?
It was. It was, goddamn.
When would we have talked about Braid?
We talked about Braid recently.
I think we have this hundreds of hours.
I think it's because we talked about your band, the Get Up Kids. And,
fuck yeah.
And we pinch over to Braid. Yo.
I saw Braid, Get Up Kids, 97A, and Monster X at CBGB's. Wow.
So on the featured emo section of the Run for Cover website, you could go across the front part of this.
Yeah, and, I'm looking at it right now.
So
those are heavy hitters.
I don't love American football, but everybody should hear American football to make up their own mind.
Mm-hmm. If you can get a fucking direct support slot on a American football tour.
Sure. Yeah.
That would work wonders for self-defense.
Sure.
I feel like they're noodly enough. And he's another guy that's like,
Can't really sing.
No, none of these.
The new record, though, the new record, he sings a lot better.
Mm.
But, I mean, he does a song with your homegirl, Haley.
Oh.
Which record is this that's on the...
They have more than one.
It's all called American Football.
Yeah. I think they have the newest one and the like classic.
The new one is fucking great.
Or LP3. Yeah. So Braid and also the cursive record Domestica. So, Tom, that feels like it would be in your lane, is it not?
Cursive Domestica? I love cursive.
Okay. Yes. So, can you recommend this record? I was always a fan of Ugly Organ because I thought it was ambitious. I went back to Domestica. It's awesome. Fucking great.
Amazing.
It's fucking great.
The records before Ugly Organ are actually low key awesome.
Yes.
Ugly Organ was their peak, was Tim Casher peak.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, we talk about, like, I mean, do you ever fuck with The Good Life?
I don't.
I love that they had a record, the album of the year.
Yes, I know. People love this.
Amazing. But like, it was within like a year or so of Ugly Organ. It's like, this dude was prolific for a minute. But then he hit a wall and it's like, yo, everything sucks now. But that record, Domestica.
Phenomenal.
And what's the record after that? Novena on a Nocturne? No.
I don't know.
Domestica is with the people hugging on the cover.
Yes, I thought it went Domestica to Ugly Organ.
There might have been one in between.
Okay.
Vamp.
Okay, for everybody that doesn't know, Cursive by this time by Domestica is not standard emo. It is a lot going on here.
They're like post hardcore.
They are, there is. So actually, Tom, by saying post hardcore is going, let's do that. If you like Quicksand, as many of our listeners do, and you've never given a shot to the Ugly Organ, you 100% should. And if you like. Stuff that it's not more mellow. It's not the right language.
No,
it's
more like it's more Fugazi.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Shudder to Think. It's more DC.
Shudder to Think. Okay, yeah. But that's obscure to some.
How many LPs would you think Cursive has?
Six,
nine.
Holy fuck!
A lot.
So yeah, Domestica was 2000. Oh yeah, Domestika was 2000, Ugly Organ was 2003.
Happy Hollows 2006. There's an EP in between Domestika and the Ugly Organ called Burst in Bloom.
Which is the best stuff they have, I think.
Burst in Bloom. Yeah. Let it burst. And then they do the Small Brown Bike split as well.
So everybody,
producer Bob.
This is clever.
Do you fuck with Cursive?
I don't think I've ever heard it.
If I'll make you a mix.
Please do.
It's heavy.
It is. Okay.
But good, not in like a moshy way.
No.
But in like a, you'll see that like.
In a post way.
They have a cello player most sometimes.
On occasions, yeah.
And but now they have her, they don't have Greta back, but they have someone else back.
Also, when Tim screams, it's a good scream. It's a good scream.
It's funny. There was a time, and we'll go on a little tangent. He was like, now he's clean and sober.
Oh yeah, he had a struggle.
But he would be like getting up on stage drunk as fuck and being like, "I'm the best fucking songwriter in America right now." Like,
that's awesome.
Like, and he looked like Jesus. Like, he was all fucked up. But like, I think that was when he was at his best, which is fucked up.
Yeah,
bands. Aren't like, we all at our best when we look like Jesus?
I mean, a little bit. Have you seen his when he had long hair?
That's at my best.
But I mean, I think like, but I mean, yeah, there's like a 4 or 5 year period where Tim Kasher was legitimately one of the better songwriters in America.
For sure. I think maybe because he's older, that might be it, but also because maybe there's a couple brick records in there. But like, yo, I think he's kind of not forgotten about, obviously. He's got hella fans, but I don't think that people are checking it out in the way that
25-year-old's not picking up the fucking Cursive record.
And so we should all take this as a note that getting to the Run for Cover record store, you're getting sort of, I talked about the Death Wish staff picks. Run for Cover has a very well curated selection of great indie, alt, whatever, all types of music, and you should go check that out. These ones are top of the list.
Yeah. Everybody that might not have checked out Cursive, because there is something that can be a little arm's length or off-putting about it before you get in. It really, there's a lot to digest there, and I suggest you do.
Go to runforcoverrecords.com, enter the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
You're going to want
to spell it out.
Save that money. Also, thank you to our other sponsor, Deathwish, for their continued support.
Go to
their website, check them out. Hey, guys.
Hey.
When you think about New York hardcore, there's a lot of good bands, right?
Yes. Yeah.
When you think about New York hardcore of the 1980s, bit of a golden age in the regions of hardcore and punk.
Pat is
but
now Googling.
Sometimes.
Pat's like NYHC 1980.
What is it? Yeah, I'm looking it up in Google. Yeah. What is that?
What does NYHC stand for?
So we're going to do a little thing here. We're going to play a tier game. No tears. No more tears, like Ozzy says.
No more tears. Okay.
Do you like that song?
Not really.
It's pretty good.
So you want me to issue the statement, or do you want to issue the
you
statement?
You can issue.
Okay. We're going to be talking about
New York hardcore was started in 1980. The guy from Abuse created the logo.
Read along on Wikipedia.
We're going to talk about bands that are a bit older. That said, we know some of these people. We respect almost all of these people. By putting things in tiers, it's to have a conversation about it in a structured way. If you are in a band, if you are a 55-year-old man that played in one of these bands, and you take issue with what I'm saying, I guess you can have my address because it's not that serious. That's the statement. Okay.
We can go grab a bagel.
Yes.
I will give you his address. Yeah. We'll take the ride with you.
Yeah, just DM Tom.
When you get there, say hi to my mom first. And if I'm not home, just
I'm just going to be there. I'm not going to jump in.
No.
But if it gets real bad, I'm just going to be like, hey.
Guys, calm it down.
Break it down a little
calm
bit.
Calm it down.
It's not going to be guys. He's going to be like, he's not hey, New York hardcore legend, stop beating on my friend.
He's not 160 pounds yet.
He's still working on it.
You just knocked the shit out of him. He's down to 148.
Yo, did you know that most normal people can only put on 30 pounds of muscle?
No.
Like past that, you have to be either kind of a genetic freak or kind of be juicing. How crazy is that? 30 pounds?
So how's the juice working for you?
I mean, check me out.
Would you do some?
Not a chance.
All right.
So we're going to do this. We're going to look at what you would consider your first tier, second tier, and then maybe even below that. But this is all out of respect and love. There have been
for sure
hundreds and hundreds of bands from New York, especially even in this time period. We're doing this as a way to say, hey, what do we like? What do we like more? What do we like less? What do we think people need to be checking out? What shouldn't they be? Just for fucking fun. So join us. How did I come up with first tier? And by the way, we're limiting this basically to the 80s for the sake of argument.
Here's
it
my
gives
question
it a little
you.
Easier. Yes.
Do you want to do name band and then we tier them? Or do hey, tier A, who name the bands that are on? I think it would be more fun to be like, where do you think Absolution
we're gonna do,
is?
We're going to name them, yes. We'll do.
And how many tiers?
Okay, then I'm not going to...
We should do three tiers and then...
so it's
then
varsity, junior varsity, and
freshman. Yeah. The freshman squad. But there was a criteria I used when I was doing my own personal list, which was... What? I'm going to put out one name. We'll start it this way. Agnostic Front.
Top tier.
Yeah. It's kind of
God tier, as they say.
A1 or A7, as we might say. But God tier. They're there, right?
So, so it's God tier, legend tier.
Okay.
Important tier.
Important tier.
Okay. Important. That's less
dramatic. That's less dramatic. Can we come up with a third?
Yeah.
So it's God, legend.
Important. I think important is still good. Like, it's an important thing to be aware of.
But it's just, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Hero.
I'm saying.
Hero tier?
Important tier is too many syllables to me. I don't know.
Important tier.
Well, we're not saying tier. We're not saying important tier. We're saying, he said, God
hero.
Legend.
Oh, legend, right.
Important.
Important.
All right.
Because it's more just saying like, yo, this is so
important.
So, and it, even in those terms even make it go, ah, fuck. But so.
We can do the numbers.
I like this game. God tier, Agnostic Front.
Yes.
The Cro-Mags.
God tier.
Yeah.
Although.
You can't dispute it.
No.
I could, though.
You think you could dispute it?
That's interesting.
Here's why.
This is interesting.
Okay.
Juicy.
1986, God tier.
Uh-huh.
1989, God tier.
Yeah.
Anything after that? Maybe might not even be legend tier.
Well.
And it dilutes.
You're talking about recorded output.
Correct.
Okay. That's. But I would say the same thing. Agnostic Front, 1984, God tier. 1989, God tier. Anything after that?
I don't know. I like that first reunion record. I
think it's. Would you put it in important? Do you think it's an important record for everyone to hear?
Well,
I think you could be into New York hardcore and never heard that. I guarantee there's Agnostic Front fans who've never heard it.
Fair.
Young and old, like people who were much younger and people who weren't born when the record came out and people who were very born when the record came out.
Wait a second. How much are we taking albums into consideration here?
Because I don't think we can
No, it's fair because every band dilutes their
peak. Your peak is so high. Exactly. So I think it's more like
Age
of Quarrel is God.
Yeah.
So those
whatever the
two,
peak is that what we're going to do?
Absolutely.
Like whatever your high level, high watermark.
There's all of it factors in. This is, can kind of factor all this in. The Cro-Mags and Agnostic Front have both, I mean, Agnostic Front has like 12 albums.
Yeah.
I don't know most of them. And I'm not saying this dismissive. Some of them are bad. Most of them are fine.
Yes.
Some are pretty good.
Most of them are good if you didn't know them.
Right. And then there's some that are the very best of the genre that make it like...
Which...
That only in comparison, like, you can't compare Agnostic Front, Dead Yuppies to Victim in Pain, even though you obviously can. It's just unfair because they set such a high bar.
Exactly.
That,
looking through the Victim in Pain lens,
yes.
Everything sucks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, but if you heard, if some band came out tomorrow with a record like fucking Riot Riot Upstart as a New York hardcore band that was new,
you'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool. So there is the way to do this. We're both going to be looking through the lens and also not and going holistic. Part of my personal activity for this was looking through the lens, the Victim in Pain lens. If someone says, you know what record's better than Victim in Pain or as good as? The Age of Quarrel. I'd go, yes. And that was kind of how I felt this conversation. In that God tier, in the top tier, if someone posited to me, Patrick says to me, Bob, you know what? Agnostic Front, Victim in Pain is a great record. Very important. But personally, I think I like Sick of It All, Blood, Sweat, No Tears.
What's the scenario where I tell you this? Where are we?
At brunch.
No, we're at the Greyhound station.
Where I approach you with this information.
We're at the Greyhound station in Albany.
Okay.
And you walk up with your headphones in.
Okay.
And that's then the first thing you say.
Right, like mid-conversation. Like you've had a conversation in your head for an hour.
Yes.
And you didn't hit Bob to that, but you're like,
look, Bob, look. I know you love Victim and Pain.
Yo, my G.
It's like Sigvidal, Blood, Sweat, No Tears, just as good.
It's like if I saw a hardcore dude at the Y when I was like, he got out of the shower and I was like, that King 9 record, right? And he's like, yeah.
And he'd be like, who the fuck?
And he holds his first gen iPod up to you and he's got the King 9 record.
But was that?
And then he goes, put some pants on, man. Yeah.
But am I picking you
up? Why are you soft? Damn.
Am I picking you up at the bus station or do I just happen to see you there?
No, we're just both there on waiting for me. Ways. Okay. I'm on my way to Montreal. You're going there.
Just hanging out at the bus station.
Yeah, probably.
So, okay. But God wait, tier. Guys.
Yeah, God tier.
Right. So let me just, for clarity on my part and maybe the listener. I thought we were going by gestalt.
Yeah. We are. There's a holistic nature to this. But I think with every band that we list that actually hits into that, it'd be the same thing if you're like, yo, Bob, Agnostic Front and the Cro-Mags, those are two like pillars of New York hardcore. I get it. But to me, Sick of It All is pillar just as strong.
Okay.
That's a worthy conversation.
Because there's one band in here that I think does not have
a
legendary
record. We'll get to it. We're going to throw names out
but
there.
So it's the gestalt, and it's being based mostly on their high watermark.
Okay.
We're not killing time for Three Steps Back when they came out with fucking Brightside.
Okay. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brightside's a high watermark. Where does that fall on the tiers?
You know what? You're not. Let's be charitable. This is a good way to go through 2020.
Yeah.
You are not the worst thing you've ever said.
Correct.
Hopefully
you're the best thing you've ever said.
Hopefully we choose to remember you by the best thing.
We're respecting the best thing you've ever said. Yeah. Your best thing. We're keeping your whole as a reflection, but we're not punishing you for your worst moments.
There we go.
So that's a good way.
All right.
Okay, so we're saying Agnostic Front, God tier, obviously. Cro-Mags, God tier, obviously. I think that's a splitting bar. There's some people who are AF folks. Some people who are Cro-Mags folks. There's some people who are a Cro-Mags person, but they say Victim and Pain's better than all the Cro-Mags stuff. There's some people who are AF people who are like, but Age of Quarrel's better than all
this.
So we're not going to debate that. Maybe in 3 years when we're squeezing the juice, we'll go to the Victim and Pain versus Age of Quarrel conversation.
Yes.
Not today.
Yeah.
Let me put out another name, and we'll go around in circles. I'll start with this one. I just want to get those first two out. Sick of It All.
It's tough because to me that's a God tier.
I'm saying God tier. Not personally. Personally, I probably put them in the hero tier. No, legend tier. Legend.
See, this is where we're getting nerdy because it's either top tier hero or lower tier legend. God. Or not hero, pardon me.
God, legend. God, legend.
So it's either top tier legend or lower tier god.
I mean, let's be realistic. They are the biggest New York hardcore band ever.
Was no one's their bigger. Peak, their peak in popularity. Yeah. Because I mean, they got to all the places that the Cro-Mags did and then some.
Yes.
Now, you could make some arguments. Like, okay, so Murphy's Law did a Madonna tour, and I'm sure we'll get to them.
And they did a Beastie Boys tour.
Yes. And AF has certainly done some pretty big stuff, but in the 80s, they never did giganto tours. Like, I think...
They did, like, an obituary.
Well, that's
like,
92. I think that's their biggest tour, was that obituary.
But, like, Sick of It All on their own was the biggest of those bands.
And Sick of It All did all those tours, too. And, you know...
Right, they did New Titans on the... But I'm saying, like... Yep. Sick of It All as the headlining band played the biggest shows of any of the New York hardcore.
I'll go
bands.
With that.
And I think Low Tier God is the right place for them. Because Blood, Sweat, No Tears, great record. 7-inch, great record. Just Look Around, cool record.
Scratch the Surface, like amazing.
It. Wait, did we did a Sick of It All.
No.
Like ranking,
but we've talked
we?
About them. I'm sure we did. But then,
Just Look Around, I think, maybe I talked about it when we talked about it. I think it's great. I don't just think it's good.
I personally really like it.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
Why do people personally, rate it? I think it's fucking great.
I don't know. Different mustaches, band.
Yeah, but it's great.
The mustaches are a lot to deal with. No, but they also, like, it wasn't... Armand was out. Right.
Sure, but it was a good record.
Right, Armand's a writer,
but it's
though.
Like people picking... What's that Red Hot Chili Peppers with Navarro on it?
One Hot Minute.
That it's
record
like some
sucks
of you, I like some of it, but I wouldn't compare it to Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Okay, wait a second. Do you think that there is just a bigotry within the hardcore informed against the record because of that.
No.
And on its own merits, it stands among the others.
No, because on its own merits, I think it stands there. But
it's between two classics. Well, yes. Scratch the Surface is a classic record.
And the narrative that happened was perfect for the band, honestly. They get really big. They put out the seminal classic record, get really big, tour all the time, get huge, huge, huge. Then dude leaves. They do a record. How could they follow it up, Blood, Sweat, No Tears?
Right.
You know? So he, different dude in, it's still,
I mean,
on its own,
back by the record.
Right. But he was out with the rewriting process, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, think about, like, the In Effect thing, that video. Mm-hmm. It's not Armand and Rich Cipriano. Right. It's EK and Eddie Cohen, and they're a vastly different band.
Yeah.
So then they're back, and they follow up the sophomore record that's cool, but not seen as the, with a record that's much bigger. Right, you know, is it?
I'm going to go as far as to say, Scratch the Surface, biggest New York hardcore record ever in the global sense. There's no question.
Biohazard,
they're not a New York hardcore band.
Okay,
like they're not. They're like, especially at the time, they were a fucking joke.
Yes, correct.
People are retroactively being like, no, but they were a joke.
I think, I don't know if Dave said this on the podcast, but he made a good point. He's like, when I was a 12-year-old poser, Biohazard was my favorite band. How could they be considered legends in New York hardcore? He's like, they were fine. He's
I
like,
love Biohazard.
I get it. Yeah, yeah. And he did too. And he does too. And he's like, but that's like, to call them New York hardcore is almost an insult.
It's like calling Life of Agony New York hardcore. Right. Calling Typo Negative New York hardcore. Right. You're not.
Tom, you're too close to this, so I'm going to exempt you from this question. Yeah. Bob, what did, when you were 16, what did you think the biggest New York hardcore record was?
Angel Crawl.
Yes. Yes.
But...
because Tom's not wrong. I think Tom's right. That Scratch the Surface is
because he's saying numbers and big. I think, but I don't think there's like
on the rate on MTV on
But to the people I was exposed to around, etc. And don't get me wrong, Albany loved Sick of It All. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but like,
although Quicksand might have been the biggest if we're considering them New York hardcore.
That's such a hard question, right?
Because they're the, think we can. They headlined Warped Tour.
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
They headlined the first Warped Tour over Sick of It All over all those bands. So. And at the time, the Sick of It All was at their apex as well.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They have there's no question that Sick of It All, Scratch the Surface, is a New York hardcore record. You can make an argument that the Quicksand Slip is a post-hardcore record. I mean, it is.
It's a post-hardcore record.
You can you have to massage it as a New York hardcore record.
Big umbrella.
Yeah. So I don't disagree. I don't think
I mean, tell me another record that's as big.
Well, as popular, as soul.
Well, not even that, but like that, like there's people that listen to Sick of It All that could not tell you a Cro-Mag song for the life of them.
Yes.
You can't say the opposite.
Good chunk of Europe.
Right. But now think about it. Like what was bigger? There's no record.
No, I mean, it's really not. It's the timing. Really, there's a lot of factors that play into that because
they were on major label.
Yeah, and it's better. I could name 30 in my opinion, but bigger, I don't think the timing was exactly right for it. They were at the apex. They were already known and then put something out. They got perfect distribution everywhere. So, yeah, no, I think there's no more well received.
The only
received.
Other one? Set Your Goals.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, that's a question. I don't know if we let Civ in,
Set Your Goals,
it opens
everywhere.
The doors.
Everywhere.
Huge. And it sold a lot. It
Can't
sold
Wait 1 Minute More is the most popular
Civ
New York
Set Your Goals outsold Scratch the Surface, I bet 2-1.
Tom, without using any names,
yes.
Do you think there's people that are mad bitter about that fact?
I would have to imagine. Because like they want to, like, I mean, and in the actual scheme of things, Civ was gone for like 3 years.
Right.
But it seemed like he was gone forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he comes back wearing Creepers and people are like, fuck this.
Right. And then they go, hey, Walter, write this record for me.
The Creepers are one thing. It's the bowling shirt.
The bowling shirt kills me. The Creepers kill me.
The Creepers, I'm like, all right, you just are insecure about your height or something.
No, but like, I feel like bowling shirts, it was like, Bonsic Souls at like bowling shirts. Yes. Let's take a ride bowling.
Yes.
Creepers.
Gas station shirt versus bowling shirt difference is one we need to discuss.
Very important. Very important. Incredibly important.
You know what, Tom?
Mid-90s zeitgeist.
I think you nailed it. Very important.
Very.
No,
but I'm going to say, that is my hill that I will be willing to die on, that Scratch the Surface is the biggest New York hardcore record in terms of sales in terms of, I mean, in terms of just,
if you count Set Your Goals, which I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Because of some, you know, reasons.
I mean, that was also just like a freak hit song.
Right. And it yeah.
Like Scratch the Surface didn't have, like Step Down is a pretty big song.
Yes, it is.
But I mean, in terms of like the greater, like they're still headlining festivals, like not hardcore festivals, no. Like big festivals off of Scratch the Surface.
Sure. Yes.
Yep.
No one else is.
All right. So we're giving them God regardless.
God.
Okay. Your turn, Tom.
Oh, we're picking another band.
Yeah.
All right. Can I use your list?
Yeah. And there's going to be stuff that's not on the list that maybe generates.
Sure. Leeway.
To me, this is in the. This is a.
Okay. So we've decided we're doing this. I think as we can mention our personal, but we're doing what we think it is for the general audience,
and then we can explain.
And we can explain
why
our
we might disagree with that. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
For me,
yes.
So in terms of the zeitgeist, legend, to me, God tier.
Right.
To me, God tier. For everyone, legend.
Legend and legend.
Yeah.
For me.
I mean, they're like literally top three hardcore bands for me ever.
I was curious how this was going to fly for you.
So to me, they're God tier. Yeah. But like in the greater scheme of hardcore, or New York hardcore especially, they're legendary. I feel like this God tier is like very, very, very small.
Yeah, yes. It is. And,
I think we're too quick to be like God tier. No, they're not.
No, they're not. Yeah. No, my personal, they're God tier. Zeitgeist, not. And like it's hard because Leeway played in Brick a year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever. And I looked around and it was a good show and people were excited. But I was like, oh, it's mostly people I know. It's mostly my friends.
Right, right.
And we all love Leeway. And right. I'm like, okay. And when I've seen Leeway other places, I'm like, oh, okay, there's people who love this, but it's not God tier.
Leeway wasn't as much a part of the conversation when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really, I felt like... the Cro-Mags record just eclipsed everything. Yes. Like it just blotted out the sun.
And also because Leeway was still around putting out records that people didn't want.
Right.
That's right.
By the time you started coming around,
yeah.
That like Adult Crash and fucking
Open Mouth Kiss.
Open Mouth Kiss. Both good records.
I've heard people advocate for Open Mouth Kiss a lot now.
They're both good. I like them a lot. It's not what you think Leeway sounds like.
Right.
And I haven't revisited. I'm going, that's on my
Give it a shot.
Year. I will.
A little post, but it's good.
Your turn.
Oh, okay. Let me
go down that list.
Let me grab the list. Okay, I'm gonna go with my worst possible timeline co-host's favorite band in the world, Sheer Terror. Low legendary.
Low legend.
Yeah. I'm saying low legend on both counts, personal and greater.
Yeah, I think it is there because their peak with Just Can't Hate Enough is so good, and like really to me. If you gave me, let's say, 10 songs of Sheer Terror's entire discography, that's probably 4 too many. But those 6 songs are fucking incredible.
All-time greats.
Unbelievable.
But yeah. I think they do themselves a disservice because I think they dilute their greatness we're talking about it.
Right? Yeah.
But like, if you had like, here's Sheer Terror's greatest hits, there are 10
yeah, very good songs.
Bangers, which, as we know, after Pat died on that hill years ago, most bands have 2 or 3 good ones.
Yes,
that's right.
They have 10.
Yeah.
I would.
I think they, yeah, it's.
Two God tier.
There's a few, there's, yeah, there's a, yes, yes. Song wise.
Two or three God tier
songs.
Two or three
songs that are just like, holy shit. And then the rest, that you're like, oh, these are really good songs.
Yeah. Like Twisting and Turning is not a fucking God tier song.
But
Legend.
It's very good. It's very good.
You know, but Here to Stay, God tier.
Here to Stay.
Top 10 New York hardcore songs.
Yeah. If you don't feel something when that comes on, something's broken in you.
Yes.
Okay.
It's dark.
Bob's up. Are you? Can you like cross off the ones that we've done already?
I could try. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just add them into the list.
Yes.
Breakdown.
I'm curious if you guys are gonna. I know you both have a strong affinity, and I'm curious how much your personal is gonna bleed into this.
I'm gonna do Zeitgeist high legend personal. Mid legend, low legend, probably low legend. I love them, and you know what? I put them very close to Sheer Terror, where it's like they probably have more songs I'd put as just like unbelievably great. But as a whole, you know, there's some stuff that I can take and leave.
I'm saying personal, legend, zeitgeist, important.
Okay.
Or hero, whatever we're gonna call
it. Important. I like it. Important feels more dignified in this.
I mean, it's definitely important.
Yeah.
So actually, this is an interesting one because musically, I might like it more than a lot of this that we're about to talk about. But my personal experience flavors them low legendary.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's accurate or if mid-range legendary would be the consensus opinion across the board. So legendary regardless, not taking anything away. Yeah. But for me, this was a thing people occasionally talked about and wanted to be like wanted to reference in a cool way.
Sure.
But it wasn't what some of these other bands were. I'm trying.
Yo, here's the weird because they're two bands.
Right.
This breakdown, yes. The two eras are like some people do not fuck with the 87 demo but love Dijon stuff. Yep. Some people only deal with the demo, can't fuck with Blacklisted or anything else.
Right. And I've said that so I think hard. I like the Dijon stuff better, but I like both. But here's my point is I'm trying to put myself somewhat in the realm of a 16-year-old when I'm looking at this and
like right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at no. I'm sorry. Okay, like myself as 16, right. Thinking what?
No one's listening. No 16-year-olds listen to Breakdown.
What was the world like?
What was the world in 1984?
No, what was well? So I
like what I mean is the people that introduced me to hardcore music were Sick of It All fans, and that flavors your view a little bit.
Sure,
you know what I mean. They were minor Leeway fans. The older ones were. Right. You know what I mean?
Because they're not Italians from Brooklyn.
Right.
And that's the only people that like Leeway.
So this like shapes the thing to a large degree. It shapes my perception of them growing up.
Sure.
You know? So I'm trying to factor that in some way. Because Breakdown certainly legendary. There's no debate. Everybody
but like as a 16-year-old, do you not hear sick people and be like, fuck?
No, it's cool.
Fuck?
So like here's my version of it. I personally like Breakdown more than Sick of It All. And to me, they were more important.
Okay, this
to
is
me.
A good example. Good example.
However, it's certainly colored just by my experience and where I was with it, et cetera, et cetera.
But if we're being honest.
But Sick of It All is certainly more important. Yeah. Like that's where we can get to on this. And I don't know. There are people who talk about Breakdown. And honestly, we hear a lot of Breakdown in more new bands. You know, there's a lot of bands who go and cite them as an influence. You know, think about any of that stuff that we've heard from like the Quality Control stuff, the London bands, you know, Big Cheat. Like, there's a lot of Breakdown.
Combust.
So there's so much because it's a really, it's like if all these New York hardcore bands are templates, the Breakdown one is the one that's right at the top because it's easy to get to. You can do it. And it's still in its raw, primitive nature. Like, it's fun. Basically, Breakdown's the negative approach of New York hardcore.
Nailed it.
Right? You know? So you can do it, but it can. It's not as dynamic or interesting as some of the other bands, and they never were as prolific. Like Breakdown did two demos and some comps, and never much more. So I think we have them in the right place. They're in the legend tier.
Sure.
So, all right, Patrick, your turn. Tom, your turn.
This is my turn.
I just did Breakdown.
All right, it's a tough one for me. Burn. To me, God tier. In the zeitgeist, important.
Yes. Although I think Bob just said fuck because there was a time.
They were, I think, inarguably in the legend tier in the zeitgeist. But
when it was only a 7-inch out?
7-inch and even the...
That's Great C. Was the 7-inch in the comp?
Yeah. Like, well, just the... No, right. Like, because when you said the 7-inch, that's basically up until... Like the 2000 when they re-released Last Great Sea and
the between the No Escape stuff and the 7-inch, there was like, I think unassailable. Like there was nothing.
I think they were hugely influential, and through the 90s, you can think about so many bands who referenced them as a major point. Like, but all that said, personally, God tier, zeitgeist important.
Yeah,
because it's wild. Some of it. The accessibility, the holistic look at them. If you look at where they are in general, like, Bane wouldn't be a band without
Bane. Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
No.
And there's so many bands who took this huge influence.
Shai Hulud took a huge influence. But, I mean, in the reality,
across the world,
there was no... You'll struggle to find a fucking duo cooler than and more like kind of legendary in their own right than Gavin and Chaka.
So where are you putting them?
Top of the third tier.
So top of the important tier.
In both? Yeah. Okay. Zeitgeist and personal?
Personal, they're climbing up the ladder for me. Yeah. This is not a band that mattered to me as a kid,
right.
And I only have gained an appreciation for as an adult.
Which I
totally confess is odd because of the New York hardcore bands, this is the one that is more pitching towards me. You know,
yeah.
What I mean? And
certainly.
But there's always been something alienating about it to me. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I think it's the vocals. It's only as an adult that I'm starting to appreciate it. This was very big for a long time.
Yeah.
A thing that people talked about, a thing that people really wanted to be an influence of their bands. We listed a bunch of bands that, but I also think stuff like Snapcase, obviously.
I think a lot of the 90s stuff that had a little groove to it.
Yes. So that said, you know, we rise and fall on the spokes of karma, right? And I think that this is, they're currently in a period where they're not getting as much of that admiration as they have in the past.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think we put them at the top of the important tier. Good. Patrick.
Okay. This might be a short conversation. Life's Blood.
I don't think they hit either of any of the lists.
Wow.
Fascinating. You know who got mad at my appraisal of Life's Blood? Trey. Trey at Death Wish.
They're important to some people, but in the grand scheme, I think
you're totally underrating how big they are to the punk side of things. Like, to people who are, like, if you're wearing, like, a Life's Blood shirt at a fucking ABC show when Tragedy's playing, people are going, awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Life's Blood was so big and was so respected to that side of things. And I think it actually holds up really well. I wouldn't put them any higher. Was bigger, but wasn't better.
No, but they're more important.
I don't know.
Life's Blood, I like Life's Blood, but like, I don't think they're not on the same level as fucking any of these other bands on here.
More
than some.
I put them above. Yes.
I think the Zeitgeist, they're important. I think that they get lost a little bit. But
is there a band in the last 15 years that have cited them? Like, yes.
I mean, any of the more thrash side of things.
Well, I was
the whole Gloom Records world, all those kind of.
I was going to say the stuff out of Boston that is not Boston hardcore, yep. But
is Life's Blood? Do you think?
Yeah, the stuff that isn't overtly shooting for Boston, I think, is borrowing from Life's Blood.
Yeah.
All that said, some of the Philly stuff too. All that said, I think that this is more of a T-shirt band than it is a band. People can feel however they want about that.
You know what? I'll say their equivalent is Outburst.
Sure.
Where it was like they did a 7-inch that was good, people liked, but they were never huge at the time. They might have posthumously been remembered more positively than they were at the time. It was like, wait a second, Outburst was just this band who played on second on bills. Like, yeah, the 7-inch is cool, but like they never did anything. You know, whereas if you just are going on music, there's people who would put them in the category with Killing Time or Breakdown. It's like Killing Time, right? Breakdown, Outburst, it's like, yeah, one of these things is not totally the same. The 7-inch is very good. And it, like when somebody hipped me to this whole thing, I was like, oh, that's so interesting because I love the Outburst 7-inch. Life's Blood's not that much different. But in the way that kids who went on to do No Warning and all that shit and like the Locking Out scene revered Outburst, Life's Blood had a lot of that reverence in that more deranged havoc prank. Anything that's a little more on the dirty punk side gave a lot of respect to Life's Blood.
That's all true. Two things. Do you guys watch more TV than I do? Because there was something I can't look at the TV. I can see its reflection in this glass over here. And there was something on it that was just insane.
Mm.
You were both idly looking at it, like just, you know.
I don't even know what was on. Commercials I don't see.
It was a man in a boat made out of
clear
glass.
Boat. Yeah.
Is that normal?
No, but they're trying to show you how
the glue.
How waterproof the glue is.
That didn't strike you all as odd? I saw it in the mirror and thought I was hallucinating.
It was like plexiglass. It wasn't real glass.
No, but the daytime TV is fucking weird.
It is weird.
I think that perhaps Tom and I are revealing that we're not going to ABC Rio enough.
Yeah. But I think here's the thing. No. I mean, this is an important record that has been reissued many times. Prank just did a big reissue on it, and it's like a big deal. People were as excited about it as all this as like something like Outburst. You know,
Bob. I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to ask you to get to. Is some of that posery?
I don't know. I mean, here's the issue.
I mean, the Outburst stuff is posery.
Yes.
Well, so it's sort of like. When you
I'm not are looking,
no, 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 no. I think it's a worthwhile conversation because there's a lot of Lifeblood fans who I'm like, oh god, that's too much.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yes, correct. But it's sort of the thing. If you like New York hardcore, but there's some element of it that like turns you off, and more specifically, less so the bands we've discussed so far, and more specifically, say some of the Revelation style things.
Sure.
Lifeblood was this big pushback against that,
right.
So that's always been something where the Lifeblood record hits, where it's like, oh yeah, I like Agnostic Front and Cro-Mags, and then it's like, do you like Sick of It All and Gorilla Biscuits and Killing Time and da da da, and it's like, nah, but I really like Lifeblood, and so there's kind of that push pull of
which
it,
is interesting. People at home that might not like, because Lifeblood, I have to imagine, is not on everybody's radar, right? So, like, let's talk about it real quick.
Oh, for sure.
Not under anybody under 35.
No, that's not true.
Yeah,
man.
There's
a whole world of these kids who like that kind of stuff.
This is my issue, though. Lifeblood to me is an aesthetic difference more than it is a sonic difference.
It's an aesthetic difference and a choice in saying, yeah, we're not them.
Yes. Yes.
In message. And it's like, yeah, but you're saying that, but you sort of sound like them.
Thank you. Okay. So correct. I guess what I'm saying is if I sound.
That's why, it's contrarian. And that's why, like,
because
there's pushback.
I think it's the same. I think the difference between Lifeblood and, I don't know, fucking, let's say Outburst.
Breakdown. You know what
breakdown,
I mean? You know,
like, breakdown. It is breakdown. It's just a grimier breakdown. So let's talk about this for a second. That's an aesthetic choice. And we could talk about it through two lenses, three lenses. Of, as an adult, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as a kid, when you're highly tribal, maybe that matters all the world to you. But Lifeblood, good band to me, but I kind of see it as like, yeah, important literally, but is it? I don't know.
I think that they rub a lot of people who love all the New York classics the wrong way because they felt like it was kind of an affront to them.
Yes, so. Yes, for sure. Okay, up next. Who was next?
Me.
Okay.
Tom, are you mad about the Lifeblood thing?
No, I don't care. I just don't. I think it's like, it's super easy, but like, in the scheme of things, like, we're putting them on the same level as bands that are like.
But the third tier.
But there's a third tier.
You're going to see the third tier is pretty big, Tom.
Yeah. Who's in the third tier so far?
I think they do.
Who's in the third tier right now?
In the third tier right now is Burn and Lifeblood. And that, I think that offends Tom's sensibility so far.
It doesn't offend me, but like, in anyone, if you're looking at it, who is more like important to punk and hardcore?
But the Chaos and Tejas scene, I think, is Lifeblood.
And the quality control hardcore scene would tell you Lifeblood.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right, but that's a fucking.
I mean, dude,
depending on the year, that can be most of what we hear about.
Yes,
do you know what I'm saying?
Different.
Sure.
All right, here's one that'll be fun.
Impalers. Do you think they're Lifeblood fans or do you think they're Burn fans?
Right.
Probably both. Honestly,
They are probably both.
But yeah, no, I get it.
Murphy's Law. One of the toughest ones to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Because
name alone, synonymous with New York hardcore.
I know, but...
I'm saying God tier.
Whoa!
Personally?
That's so interesting.
I would probably say God tier in both. No one is copying Murphy's Law.
That's for sure.
But in terms of like, you can't put Warzone in God tier without putting Murphy's Law in God
tier. That's why neither are making it for me.
But I think it would be sacrilegious to not put Warzone in God tier.
There's the New York thing. There we go. Yeah,
listen to me.
I mean, I don't agree. I don't like Warzone. Sure. But I mean, Murphy's Law, those first two Murphy's Law records are all-time great hardcore records.
You want to hear something crazy? I like those two records better than 65% of what we're going to talk
about. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm still putting them at the highest point of importance.
I'm putting them in legend because of how important they are. Those two records are great. I think they've been lost in the sauce of hardcore in general.
Those are fun fucking records for anybody that doesn't know them.
Fun.
Well done.
Yeah, and they sound good, and I think those records maybe are a 1-2 New York hardcore records hold up as strongly as almost any other 1-2.
Maybe I'm overstating them. They might be legend.
I think they're legend.
They 1,000% should have been the biggest New York. They should be talked. They should be talked about how we talked about Scratch the Surface. Mm. Mm-hmm. Murphy's Law had the possibility of being that big.
What do we think was the holdback?
Novelty songs.
Yeah. But is
and yeah, probably dudes yeah. not being able to get out of their own fucking way.
That's yeah, true. Oh, well, always. That's true. Yeah, that's
I mean, Jimmy Gestapo. You can. I mean, I saw him in arena with fucking Misfits.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude owned the fucking place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't like 5,000 Murphy's Law fans there for them. That dude brought everyone. That turned into the Continental real quick.
To call him a natural performer is to understate
incredible.
It.
Incredible.
And that wasn't the first time he played Madison Square Garden. What the fuck, right?
Right.
He played Madison Square Garden with Madonna and the Beastie Boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's
I mean,
fucked up. You know what I mean?
I think they had the most potential for New York hardcore that wasn't fully realized.
Right.
But I think you can't talk about New York hardcore without talking about
Murphy's Law. You should. And they're unique because, as we were discussing, I think off air, they were fun. We've talked about bands who are funny, and sometimes that scrubs us the wrong way.
Yeah.
But they were fun, not necessarily. They were funny, but because they were fun, not because it was like, hey, we're clever and being. But it's like
AOL away messages. No, yeah, it was just no. Jimmy is inherently funny.
Funny songs. And,
I don't.
And
yeah,
fun.
I don't think clever is really the word.
No, but they were
amazing songs.
Great songs
and funny, but like, great songs. Oh man,
Cavity Creeps, man. Legend tier. Personally, they are probably on the lower side, but I think Zeitgeist. Personally, lower side of legend, but really like them. Where they should be, higher side of legend, maybe even scratching the God tier. Where I think they're in Zeitgeist is middle legend and completely underappreciated by a lot of people.
I'm leaving them in, it seems like consensus. There's legend. No consensus. It seems like you guys think that squarely legend, but personally.
Important.
And actually, I don't say important. Pardon me. Both personally, they might be legend, actually. My view of where they're actually
at,
important.
Okay.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code AXETOGRIND50, that's numeral 50, to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXETOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXETOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're up. Oh, no, you're up, Tom.
Am I up?
Yep. I dropped Murphy's Law.
We're about to get into the realm of things that are going to offend our old listeners.
Yeah, probably. We're going with... I'm going to go with Underdog.
Oh, okay. Interesting pick.
To me, personally...
Are you going high important?
Yeah, he's thinking.
No. It's definitely... I would say... Personally, high legend. Mm. Zeitgeist, medium legend. Wow.
I'm going God tier personally, but sure. But Zeitgeist, I might go low legend.
Yeah.
I'm going personally low legend. Reality, important. And I think it's a low important, honestly.
Well, you know what? I might defer on that because they're so regionally important to where I specifically am from.
True.
It clearly shades me, but I will reveal this. When we booked them to play Sound and Fury, it was done with a lot of personal love and passion and the expectation and knowledge that their set would be fun, mostly for the people playing.
Yes.
Who are from the East Coast. And that kids in California would be like, oh, that was neat.
Yep.
And it didn't really matter to them. Do we think Underdog has had musically an influence or impact like any of the other bands that we've discussed in the legend or God tier?
More. You want to hear something wild?
Go.
Murphy's Law, I don't see any children
That's true.
Of Murphy's Law.
That's true.
I think Underdog is a huge influence on the Locking Out stuff.
And that is very true. No, and
Regulate.
Very true.
Oh, you're sure?
Right. That, all the bands Blind from the Justice, Shore, all the back hear, and yeah. forth. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. So, all right. I mean, then why are you putting them important? And not legend.
Because I hate Locking Out. Let's fine. We'll put them in legend.
I think they're in legend.
They have more children.
You're right. Because I was low rating that, and I forgot how big of an influence it is on that whole world of stuff that I fucking love. So yeah, okay. Because I was almost blinded by my regional how much it is. So low legend, right? Low to medium.
In the Zeitgeist.
In the Zeitgeist.
I'd say medium.
Okay. But there's certain plot spots where they don't matter to anyone. Even for
yeah.
Hard,
see that, you know what? That's what makes
that's the
it.
Hard
I mean, that's everybody.
It's a lot of blind spots.
Like Murphy's Law drawing anybody in fucking, you know.
No. Well, your commentary about Life's Blood, I feel like even though it waxes and wanes, there's like usually this core of like weirdos, black shirt, hardcore types who will yes. be Life's Blood. Underdog will have boom periods and then it seems like.
They play too much.
Well, boom periods. And then it seems like outs, and I will pull New Jersey out, the shore out.
Right.
But then it seems like they go completely invisible, you know?
Yes.
Which is wild because of that. And they.
Life's Blood. They do a reunion right now. How many people show up? New York City.
Just one. Just one reunion.
Just one reunion show.
Sell out Vitus.
That's 250 people.
Yeah.
We could sell out Vitus.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal. I'm thinking, like, you know, if Underdog coming back. You know, sold out CBGBs that you couldn't take fucking two steps.
Sure.
With killing, you know what I mean? Or like Burn coming back. Dude, they sold out fucking Webster Hall.
But there's also a difference. There's also
mobbed.
There's also a difference. Burn came back. That was at Black and Blue Bowl, right?
Right. But then they did a follow up show and they sold out the big room at Santos.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you equate those?
Draw is a different thing than influence.
I also, I don't just think it's that. I think that some years these bands can come back to great fanfare, right, and other years they're going to brick fucking hard.
And we know that a couple years after Burn come back, they're not filling a 200 cap room.
Right.
But is Life's Blood, Citizen's Arrest same level?
Oh, that's interesting.
Probably. Probably, yeah.
I thought
Citizen's Arrest plays free shows at A7.
Right. I thought Bob was going to go the other way.
But they also have, they've burned their candle. You know, Citizen's Arrest has been a bit, they released a new record. Fair.
I thought you were going to go the other way. I thought you were going to say Life's Blood.
Oh, I like Citizen's Arrest way more than Life's Blood.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But
just played. I meant to tell you.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't want to see them. No. I think I would be sad. And it's not a dick way. It's just,
you're like,
I just don't care.
Kylo Ren.
Right, kill the past. No. I feel like Ben Solo in fucking Athleisure.
I told you how confused I was by that.
Rise of Skywalker.
All these reviews that were talking about Ben, and I was like, "Who is Ben?"
Well, he's definitely in some Athleisure with like those long t-shirt that good looking people wear.
Oh, I don't know. I've never met
pants that are clearly not for doing much in, but look very comfortable.
Mm, very athleisure.
Yeah. No, I like Citizen's Arrest more, but it's, you know, you see Life's Blood.
Let's pivot to Citizen's Arrest real quick then.
Sure.
All right. Bottom of Important. Even though personally I really like that. The 7-inch is fucking great, and you hear me cite it more often than I probably even should. And I think it hits this weird point. But I see less Children of That than, say, Life's Blood.
At this very moment.
And there's a similar world. I think Citizen's Arrest, A Light in the Darkness, 7-inch is a borderline perfect 7-inch for that.
Wow.
But I also, you know...
Now my ride back.
Low of back
important. To back between that and the Life's Blood record and see what I feel.
Low if in the important category.
Same.
Yeah.
So, and personally, maybe I put him to Legend, but probably not. Probably high important. Okay. Was that me? No, that was...
So I jumped the gun by saying Citizen's Arrest.
Okay. So I'm next?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no, did you did Underdog.
He did Underdog.
You did Underdog.
Oh, so you gotta go.
Yeah, so why don't you do one? Oh, so it's me?
Yeah, PK did one.
Okay. Let's get it out of the way. Warzone. Did you just fart?
I did. It wasn't a disrespect thing.
It was a weird timing tweet.
But it happened.
That's going to be awful.
I think... Yeah.
I think, all right, Zeitgeist, God tier. Personally,
important.
Low Legend.
Oh.
Personally, low mid Legend. Zeitgeist, pretend Zeitgeist,
yes.
God tier.
Yes.
Reality, low Legend. Because I think
if you do any
more
song other than the three, no one's going to know what the fuck you're doing.
And
everyone dresses like him, though.
And I think people like to name check it more than they like to listen to it.
100%.
Even though, don't forget The Struggle's a good record.
Yeah.
They don't have
a great record, though.
Open Your Eyes, a good record. You have to pull the argument that me and a friend made, who I'll leave nameless here because I don't want to put him on Front Street if he doesn't want this to be broadcast. But we said, Don't Forget The Struggle, Don't Forget The Streets. Really good 7-inch.
Yeah. They've never had a good LP.
I also have another LP. Friend who's like, Don't Forget The Struggle, Don't Forget The Streets. Better than Age of Quarrel.
Yeah. It is to some people.
Right, so that's where, but there's very few.
I don't even really like Age of Quarrel, and I think that's an insane take, and that person should be carted away to a mental health facility immediately.
We went track for track, and it was tough, and he's like the dearest of friend. I was like, wow. But he was serious about it. He believes it, and that's where some of the stuff gets very subjective.
So Andy really likes Warzone.
Correct, exactly right.
I knew as soon as you said it, I was like, crazy. That's Andy.
Yeah, It was a year ago this week or next week, actually, because we were watching
where
football.
Where we
stopped
talking.
No.
we broke up our friendship after 20 years.
No, so the other day we were at dinner and Andy's wife made a joke. She's like, oh, are you guys just going to get lunch tomorrow? And Amanda's like, wait, do you guys go get lunch that often? I was like, no, we go to lunch maybe three times a month, some months less, whatever. Next day, I was in trouble from Amanda for that. She's like, are you just going to go? And I was like, yo, what the fuck? I don't do... It was a joke. She was making a joke, so...
It's a lot of lunch dates.
I know. 3 months is nice. Three months.
3 months is good. Yeah.
I mean, he works a job that he's around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fuck it.
Yeah.
He gets his hour lunch break. You go eat fucking subs with him. What the hell's the problem?
Yeah. Nice. Normal thing that people
do. Damn it, Aaron. Damn it, Amanda. Let them live.
I like when you sound like Joe Pesci going, one dog's looking this way, one dog's looking the other way. What's that?
Did you give one? No, I give Warzone. All right, so what's your...
So, interestingly, this band, who I don't necessarily even like their music, is God tier to me because they were, in essence, the first hardcore band I really saw, right? And really made an impact.
So that's what that Iron Cross tattoo is.
That's what that... Well, you just thought it was my political leanings.
Yeah, exactly.
But in fact...
it says worst possible timeline over and under or after.
So I actually... This band means something to me in my personal formative...
There's so few bands you actually give that title to.
100%. It's like them and Sick of It All.
You know? Lungfish.
And Lungfish. That's true. These are bands that when I saw them live, they had a huge impact on me. Now...
Just like our economy. Huge.
Huge. Yeah, I can't say H's. There's something wrong with my mouth. Okay. This band is in the lower tier of importance to me, and I also think, not to me. To me, they're gods. To
Zeitgeist.
In the zeitgeist, and also where I think their music actually is much lower in the importance thing. And also, does anybody want to be Warzone musically?
Since Iron Boots.
No,
I'm not saying people don't arrive there.
Wild Side a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, but they're straining through. So very few Children of the Sound.
So many Children of the vibe.
The vibe and the aesthetic. So that's what bumps them into legend status no lower.
Yeah, you might be right, actually. Okay,
because
of that,
aesthetics, everything.
You know what? On aesthetic qualities alone, things that could be sold in a boutique shop in Japan, this is...
Their biggest influence on Axe to Grind is us responding to emails because Rabies was writing letters to kids, and that's a lot of fucking work. So shout out. RIP. All right. Tom, your turn.
Killing Time.
I'm going to jump out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, to me, lowest level legendary.
Okay.
To the world, shocker, lowest level legendary.
Personally... low level god tier, musically, god tier level LP, god tier level demo, they're god tier.
Wow. Yeah, I'm saying personally, godliest of god tier. Yeah.
Mm.
And I feel like everyone goes, we're going for like the outburst sound. Motherfucker, you're all trying to sound like Killing Time. You're just not as good as it.
Quick question. Are there days where we could catch you? Well, no. Killing Time over Agnostic Front for you. Yeah.
Wow. I will listen to Brightside over any other hardcore record.
Killing Time over Chromex.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Brightside
is my favorite New York hardcore record, I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, legit. Like,
I think the only knocks against Killing Time...
Latter-day Sins? We talking Happy
Hour? Yeah, exactly.
Hour.
Like late,
Happy
late
Hour
shit.
Fucks them.
And like we said, we're not punishing anybody for those things.
Right.
Their peak was great. They were this legendary band. The aesthetics are perfect. It was great. And they're... I feel like if you were there in New York hardcore, it was like the... You know, it was some fucking Smash Mouth. The hits start coming and they don't stop coming.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, yo, can there be another... Like Agnostic Front or Chromags. Oh shit, here's Breakdown. Oh shit, here's Sick of It. Oh shit, Killing Time. What the fuck? You know,
I would say
one of the more likable New York hardcore bands. So.
Do we think of Children? Breakdown and Killing Time are probably the most prolific.
Yes,
having children.
Oh
yeah. I mean, we'll see tonight when we check our stories.
Yeah.
And you know, entire crowd is going off for fucking Killing Time
because
I think it's gonna happen at FYA.
Oh, sure.
Might.
I hope.
I bet it does.
They just played... Did they play Miami last night? I want to see videos of that. So, Killing Time is God tier.
Oh, we're... Okay, you guys both think God tier.
It's not too arguable. All right,
so they're keeping there.
Brightside is the last classic LP of the 80s New York hardcore golden age.
Sure.
Yep. Antidote. Wait, did I... No, I just did Killing Time.
No, I did Killing Time.
Oh, you did Killing Time.
Let's say me.
Go.
Okay. Here's one. I don't know if this will be controversial. Supertouch?
Zeitgeist? Zeitgeist, high important. Personally, low important. Not legendary.
Zeitgeist, in my life, they have touched legendary.
Two songs have touched legendary.
Sure, but look.
In the conversation, there were a lot of $100 plus Supertouch shirts floating.
Because one guy made them cool.
Yeah, but in my life, they have risen to legendary and are now back.
It's the thing I say whenever this conversation comes out. When the locking out thing
exactly
hit, the Supertouch LP that had one pressing in 1990, eventually sold out.
Right.
You know, and then needed to be repressed. I put personally legendary on the low side of legendary. They're important, but it's sort of more in this sonic way than I bet you could have seen Supertouch play a lot of half full shows at CBGB's back then.
Yes.
And it's more the range of New York hardcore sound, like a few of the other bands we talked about, is expanding the sound and what can work, what can go, what can be cool, and being a band who operated firmly in New York hardcore, you know what I mean? So
when we always talk about, like, there's always, like, New York hardcore is infamous for having the band with the one song.
Yep.
My mind almost always goes to Supertouch, because Searching for the Light, god tier NYHC song.
Mm.
I do not like any other Supertouch song. And I know I'm going to get fucking DMs once this comes out from fucking dudes a couple years older than me. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I saw them in the early 90s. I didn't like them then either. It was boring as fuck. No offense.
I think you would have had to catch them early tenure, like 87 Supertouch for it to be a fun live show.
I was 12.
I'm speaking just generally. You know what I mean? I'm speaking for me too. You know, like I was fucking sick, so whatever.
They were never, I feel like you watch even videos from back then, you're never like, fuck, I totally get it now.
There's a couple, no. If you want to watch the videos, like, if you want to watch a couple of the Anthrax videos, there's some good ones where it seems fun. Like people are actually going off.
But they're not making it fun.
Yeah, they're not trying to make
Mark Ryan is not
there's,
giving a fuck.
Yeah, there is one good Supertouch video where he's bouncing around. Where I think people, if you want to see where some of the New York, the locking out stuff comes from, find Supertouch videos from the Anthrax.
That one video. Right?
There's some others, but it's the Anthrax
show. So is important fair as a low general?
Okay. I think low important.
I mean, it definitely had impact on locking out, and locking out is one of the bigger things in the last 20 years. So, I mean, it has to be somewhat important.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
Your turn.
Oh, didn't I just do Supertouch?
No, he just did Supertouch.
We are fucking senile.
Oh, you did Supertouch. Yeah, you did. Okay, Antidote.
Okay. I'm going to jump out. I'm going to say, in my life, they have almost touched the lower levels of God. Mm-hmm. I think, realistically, market correction, lower levels of legendary.
Okay.
Personally, lower legendary, Zeitgeist, high important.
Hmm. Right now, I probably stick them in lower legendary. I think they're, but I see the argument for higher important. They get name checked by Youth of Today and Agnostic Front as being influential. That says a lot. The record, the 7-inch is great. Personally, I may have at some point in my life had them in the higher legendary level, never God tier, but higher legendary. And there's been times when they've scratched God tier in the more larger Zeitgeist. There's people who tell you that's their favorite New York hardcore record.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? And so, and of the early 80s stuff, like, oh, man, it's right there.
I mean, that's the best. Of the non-AF,
mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, that's probably above Urban Waste, Reagan Youth.
Absolutely.
The Mob. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I think I'll take the 7-inch over.
I mean, that's one of the best hardcore 7-inches ever.
And also,
I might,
like,
take it over AF.
Yeah, it's better than AF Unite Blood.
Yeah.
And I love Unite Blood. And there's a lot of people who don't fuck with that, actually. But if you listen to it, you could almost go, oh, yeah, I see that Victim in Pain was taking just as much from the Antidote 7-inch as it was their own 7-inch for growth. Sure. So, yeah, I think low legendary is the right placement. Like, right there. It could, if somebody wanted to make the argument for higher important, I could see that, too. So it's right there.
Okay.
All right.
Tom, it's you now.
I don't even have a dog in the race, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Throw it out, you throw it back if you don't like it. Outburst. Zeitgeist, lower legendary.
Yeah.
Personally, low important. They're another band, and this is there's a lot of revisionist history. They're another band with like two songs.
I'm not giving them that.
Oh, I'll give them that,
but not much more.
The Hard Way, man.
What? But that's a god tier hardcore song.
So I know that you guys are going to say that there's distinct differences here. But I think if you have Breakdown and Killing Time, you don't need Outburst.
No, that's true. Right. I wouldn't argue that. Yeah. I think there was time when Outburst became discovery core. We'll call it.
Oh, for sure.
Where in the late '90s, the right people hit into the Outburst 7-inch, and it went from a $5 used bin record at any record store in New York City to you've got that on Red, I've got $200 for you, kind of thing. It was great mining, actually.
Also, I think it is worth saying that sometimes it is okay to just want more of something. I tend to shit on this as a concept, but it is okay to, like, if there's something that's not great, it's very good, but it's not great, and the thing that you love only produced X amount of great, it's okay to dip into the good.
Hey, Grandma, you want to turn your fucking ring around?
So I think Outburst, No Choice, When Things Go Wrong, The Hard Way, Thin Ice, that Mission Impossible mosh part, those are their tracks. The other stuff, all pretty forgettable. I put them, there's been times with the Zeitgeist where they scratched Upper Legendary, which was very of the moment,
very
and people kind of, yeah, exactly. But it's sort of like when there's moments when people are like, oh, Breakdown, maybe better than AF. And I'm like, yo, I don't think the members of Breakdown would let you say that out loud.
No. If you ask Jeff Pro and he'd be like, what are you smoking?
Stop. Yeah. But
we're about to have a street
fight.
It's
the same thing. Yes, correct.
Especially on a weeknight.
Outburst, mid important. I think, and the Zeitgeist rises and falls. There's definitely been times they've been high legendary, and they maybe are high important. But I think right now, because you see it in different regions. Like, I see people still putting out demos. They're like, Outburst, I think it's important, but I'm putting it middle important.
Okay. I think that's fair enough.
All right. Patrick, your turn.
We already did Citizens Arrest. Sorry.
We're getting down there.
Yeah,
We are.
And there's bands that I didn't put on this list that we could pull out of the hat if you want.
Are there any other?
We can go quick here.
Yeah.
Well, so what years are this? Because the Rev stuff doesn't touch this.
So this is the question. I actually asked this in the group chat, and Tom was answering, but you were busy.
Shocking.
No, my bad.
I wasn't busy at work.
No, you were busy shopping your discounted sale, which you didn't send us the code for this year.
That's very sad. Sale 70, my fault.
Yeah, damn, man.
I got like $85 worth of shit for $20. It was great.
Cool, thanks for the share. So. All right.
I think he was sour because we wrote him about it.
Yeah,
you did.
You clowned me last time. I was like, hey,
but
guys,
it was a moment of actual
sale.
Joy for you that was really nice, and we clowned
you
because we're friends.
It. Yeah.
Because that's what you do. But I also was happy about your joy.
Is Youth of Today a New York hardcore band?
These are my questions.
Right? My question was,
is it possible for Judge to be a New York hardcore band and Youth of Today not to be?
I thought we talked about this and determined that it's weird when people say Youth of Today is not. I think it is.
But people say Bad Brains are New York hardcore band. They're a DC band.
Yeah.
They made a lot of hay in fucking New York City.
They made a lot of hay.
But I mean, if we went with the strictest definition of New York hardcore, there's like five bands.
Right. And that's like, and we're not going with that because we're pretty loose here. There's different
things. AF's not a New York hardcore band.
Correct. If you're going by certain things and like we're
Underdog's
not.
Underdog's not.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I mean, if we're going along the straight edge band rules that everyone from the band has to be from New York.
Oh, yeah, there's none.
There's no way. Literally, Indecision might be one.
Like you have to be in the five boroughs, we'll say.
Yeah, I mean, who?
And not Long Island.
Who?
Five boroughs.
Sick of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Breakdown. Yonkers.
There's a lot of NYAC blood in this.
Richie is from Manhattan.
Right.
The rest of the half of, and I think a couple other dudes from New York and a couple dudes from Jersey, but they were making their hay in New York.
Yeah.
So it's hard. But here's the question and it's less about where they're from to me and more about some of these weird intangible sonics. To me, Judge did a 7-inch called New York Crew, despite the fact that Mike Judge is notably from New Jersey. But he was
and like deep New Jersey.
Yeah, Morris County, yeah. And Maybe lived in New York for a while. I think he did.
Did New Jersey crew just not have the same ring?
He said on one of their live records, he's like, before there was a New York crew, there was a New Jersey crew.
Wow.
But nothing cool happened. Like,
well, because it's all like what's better stories? Like weird shows at A7 or like...
Boston
like
didn't show up in
Adrenaline OD shows in Piscataway. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, no, Boston didn't show up in Piscataway one night.
Yeah, exactly. Push came to shove. No, they just went to a diner.
And we went to Orange Julius.
Yeah. So, is Judge a New York hardcore band? They put NYHD on a lot of things. Right, right.
Yeah.
Is Youth of Tay a New York hardcore band? Yeah. Is Gorilla Biscuits a New York hardcore band?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Wait.
Is YLT a New York hardcore band too?
I'm going to have to say yeah.
Hold on. I think they are.
Sammy?
But almost all the Rev stuff is. You know.
Wait a second.
Well, I mean, you got to think Sammy, Richie, Greg.
Tom, you... actually, I'd like to hear both, even though you were right in it. 16 were these bands New York hardcore bands.
Yes.
They were undoubtedly
all New the York revelations. Yeah. The way
no one's
is,
been like, they're from Connecticut.
The way
no one
it
ever
is New York hardcore. The way it is.
Yes. So these were undoubtedly
all this. So if
I
we
think it's
count
only with
Rev
time
stuff,
that people have started that saying that they're not
picking nits.
Well, because sonically stuff starts to peel, and you start to see more similarities between a Leeway and a Sick of It All and an AF and a Cro-Mags, and that's why when you throw Judge in, you're like, oh, sonically it's right there. Youth of Today isn't totally, but if you go back, Youth of Today's material sounds more like AF Victim in Pain than Killing Time does. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So. So all the Revelation stuff, let's do quick fire. We're counting it all. It's all New York hardcore. Youth of Today.
God tier. In both zeitgeist and personally.
Correct.
High legend.
So they're God tier. Gorilla Biscuits. God tier.
God tier in both.
God tier.
Judge.
God tier in both.
I'm God-tier saying high legend.
I'm saying God tier because of the influence, because their influence.
A lot of children.
Lot of children.
Bold.
A lot of children that bold. Fuck. Personally.
High legend.
Personally, high legend. Zeitgeist, important.
I don't, you know
There's
what?
So many haters.
Yeah.
Yes.
One is radiating hate right now. Yeah. It's me.
He's glowing. He's that.
But I feel like the people that are like propping out like Super Touch, it's like. Have you listened to Looking Back? Because
it's better.
It's way better, and it's not that much different.
Well, and if you like Beyond, Bold Looking Back is
better.
Better than Beyond.
Yeah,
yeah, but Beyond isn't even charting for most people. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Correct.
So, I'm going to say.
I said Zeitgeist important
for Bold.
Yeah,
I'm going to say
because it rises and falls. There's some years. There's some
T-shirt band at this point.
There's some years where when they really peak, they're peaking into legend for sure, and you're seeing more T-shirts. I'm not seeing a ton of Bold.
Get a voicemail from Pat Flynn. What he thinks about Bold?
Oh yeah, he'll try.
He's still carrying that flag.
Yes, he is. And for me, yes, I can't deny they would make the important as far as or they Zeitgeist important personal. There's no list that they make.
Right, right. Okay. The Gorilla Biscuits, Bold, GB, YLT.
Bad Brains.
I don't count them as New York. I count them as DC.
I also think that...
it's tough, though, but how is they any different?
Because they were only in New York for a period and then left.
Leave again after the A7s?
Yeah,
days?
They recorded and then they left. I think their home base moved to, like, Baltimore, DC area. They went back.
Quickness, they had fucking... No, wait. No,
but they went and after that they start being more of this national entity, you know. And I don't know. There could have been members living in New York. They could have all been up in Woodstock at that point.
True.
And so it's sort of, if somebody wanted Bad Brains are God tier, no matter what. So if you want to put them in New York hardcore, they're God tier. You want to put them in DC, they're God tier. You want to put them overall, they're God tier. You know.
Yeah, but I don't consider them a New York band because I think that certain bands when they change locations, they just forfeit that. Sort like I don't consider them a DC band either. You know what I mean? Like
I consider them a DC band because they with their imagery still reference back to DC. Like the biggest the record they recorded in New York City was the tapes were the Roar tapes band in DC.
Right.
With the fucking Capitol on it. It's not the fucking Empire State Building. You know?
Here's a tough one.
Oh.
No. Crumbsuckers.
Oh well they're on the original list.
I'm putting personally important, Zeitgeist low important. Musically, it might be more influential than I'm giving credit for.
I think we do. Yeah, I'm going to say personally important. I'm saying Zeitgeist, low-key legendary.
Really?
Because that was, you know, there's bands that, like, we don't consider, like, you know, the crossover bands, that they're like SOD or whoever. SOD was probably a hardcore, a New York hardcore band.
So,
but I feel like Crumbsuckers, to like, you know, the average fucking 32-year-old, maybe they don't give a shit in hardcore.
Not a shit.
But in the grander scheme of things, those records were really big. Mm-hmm. Like bigger than we give them credit for, because it's outside of our purview.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
But kind of like Lifeblood. It didn't mean jack shit to me, but if there's people that are outside my general purview that pick it up, then it's more important than I would give it credit for.
I think the note that you made that was really important was that
I do that a lot.
They hit other bands who they influenced.
Sure.
Who then were more prolific.
Yeah.
Because I think Crumbsuckers low key were kind of a factor in the New York hardcore crossover scene. As things started to move more metal, like, they were a big player in that.
Did they predate AF in the crossover?
No, it's right around the same time. But like I think Crumbsuckers were. Crumbsuckers didn't start and be more like Victim in Pain or United Blood when they were going for
crossover.
Yeah, exactly. And so like it's sort of like I see people name check NYC Mayhem. You know, NYC Mayhem is a neat side note to a band we'll talk about, and they were more thrashy, but Crumbsuckers were the actualized, like, hey, we're doing shit with the sound.
Sure.
So yeah, I think in that important low legendary status, I'll put
it's just
Propane. I'm kidding.
Just going important for me. And it's like a I'll go mid-level important for that.
Okay. Quick one, straight ahead.
Shirt.
I'm
you
going.
You hear the sound, though.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I'm going. Personally, probably low-level legend. Zeitgeist, probably medium to high legend.
I think I'm right. I might personally put him medium, high legend, and Zeitgeist, medium, high legend, like right there.
Yeah.
If I was just going on the straight ahead 12-inch, I love that record. And there's almost very little that sounds like it. But there's also... It also yes, it also... The problem is, it's in that, like...
Straight ahead.
Yeah.
They get talked up so much. And I get it, because that 12-inch does have a really kind of singular sound. But it's almost like these bands we listen to now, where the vocals don't necessarily align with the music exactly all the time.
Yeah.
Like... I hope you have more appreciation for that. If you really like the straight ahead 12-inch, some of the reasons it's great are the parts where his vocals don't totally line up with that music. And that's right. Why it creates this kind of cool friction.
But
there's a lot else out there. But people aren't citing that as the reason they like it.
No, but that's not an artistic choice. No. That's a lack of talent choice.
It's just going for it.
I'm not trying to be a dick.
No.
That dude would fucking beat the shit out of me. But
And I also don't think that's the charm of it, is the part. Because we asked that question. Like, you put Ray Capo on the straight ahead 12-inch. It probably would be more vicious and more on and more like, holy shit, but it'd have less personality, which is kind of crazy to say.
Here's one that's not on the list.
Oh, wait. Let's hear his straight ahead. And then you go.
Lowest level of legendary for Zeitgeist. Lowest level of important personal.
Okay.
Rest in pieces.
Not even a t-shirt band. You know what I mean? Like, not even in that straight-ahead conversation. You know, like, it is...
I put them important. Low-level important.
Personally, probably, you know, high-level important. I think they're a band that people don't cite when they're citing late 80s NYHC.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
People always go, Outburst. But again,
that's
it's
true.
Fucking... Listen to fucking Old Grey Mare's... Like, it's rest in pieces. You're not giving them the credit for it.
Mm.
But I think they're more influential than people give them the credit
for. Yeah, I think they should be in the important at the very bare minimum.
Sounds right.
Token entry.
Truly a band I don't care about on any level. Like, can't justify a concern.
But have you met people who are passionate about it?
Maybe one in my life.
I've met older people who are very passionate about it. Like, older New York people are like, no. Token entry, those shows were wild.
Jaybird's a good record, and so is Weight of the World. I like them.
I like them. I don't know that I even put it in. I put it important because I think it is something that should be noted. I think there's bands like Gorilla Biscuits who were like, oh, we can be a New York hardcore band that's melodic. Okay. You know, and they wouldn't have gotten that from anywhere except Token Entry. Personally, it never clicked with me. I always wanted it to because those record covers are cool. The first two, not so much the third. But
you think? I think that's what puts me off.
You don't like the cartoon Jaybird?
No, I hate the Jaybird.
Rock Chalk.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. You know, just because I'm a...
You don't like his New York cousin, yeah, I don't, you know, Larry?
I off-putting for me as a kid. Really didn't like it.
My kid's story was I traded a Project X CD for that CD and was very mad about my choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has to be important. And there's people who will tell you that it's more... The records... Maybe we'll do a Token Entry deep dive.
I know that this is implied. I'm curious what listeners are going to hit us with for their lists. Like, I get that we don't even need to say it because people are just going to volunteer.
Yeah, and there's a bunch we haven't mentioned, so we're going to... But let's call it.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Any others, Tom, that you want to mention before we go?
No, but I would say Token Entry is high-level important and probably low-level legendary to me.
Really? Yeah.
I really love Token Entry.
There's a lot of people, a lot of people who feel very passionate about lists.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be someone listening. Right now? No. But as a, like, growing up that I really liked those records, I did.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who love those records, too.
It's good. It's... No, but New York hardcore wasn't doing that.
Yeah, okay.
So it's cool. It was cool.
And I think those shows ended up being raucous and fun and had, they weren't Murphy's Law because it wasn't that kind of like bombastic silliness energy, but it was like the difference of like a fun punk show, people going off, people singing along, people knowing every word kind of thing.
Agreed.
So, all right. New York hardcore.
Really fun exercise.
Yeah.
Fun game. Later.
Thank you.